Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for each one here today. I know that by your design and your purpose that you have each one of us here, whether it be in this sanctuary or whether it be in children's church. We praise you for that. And I pray that you, dear Holy Spirit, will accomplish the work that you want to do in and through that. And I pray that you'll be glorified. May each one of us walk away with our hearts blessed and refreshed and lifted and focus even that much more on you. Help us, Father, to just love you more and more. And we just pray and ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, you know, last week we learned about what it means to be free from the power of sin, because we're talking about our series of messages on freedom. And to be free from the power of sin is quite a privilege. It is one of the greatest things that you and I have as believers in Christ, is that he's freed us from the clinches of sin. We just have to choose to follow what God has us to do, right? That, you know, that's the wonder of the new life in Christ. We have the freedom to live the way God wants us to live, which is above our sinful nature. And because of that, we experience the wonder of Jesus. Because, you know, you're thinking in your head, well, gee, I know people that aren't Christians that have overcome, you know, adverse situations in their lives that just weren't good, and that we would categorize that as sin. Yes, but to overcome sin by the power of God for his glory, for the right heart and the right purpose, is what freedom you and I have. We have the freedom to live in a way with a focus and a desire that's in line with God, and that can only come by his Spirit indwelling us and you and I learning to die to our sinful nature and live in a new life. And that's a choice. So we have that freedom. We established that last week. We have that freedom over the power of sin, and we have the liberty to choose whether we're going to do it or not. And that's a wonderful, wonderful privilege. But today we're going to look at several examples of the Holy Spirit, okay, that works in our lives. He works to push things out of our lives that should not to be in our lives, for one reason, that we can experience the fruit of the new life that we have in Christ. So we receive Christ, we have the freedom and power over sin. We have the freedom or liberty to choose not to sin or to sin. We also now have the realization of the very presence of God, the Holy Spirit, indwelling us, who is working in our lives to push out the things that we know are part of the old man, the sinful nature, the carnal nature, that we can do what? Live a new life in Christ. A new life in Christ is something that no one can experience except the believer. And when we experience that new life in Christ, it's not a solitude, private newness of life in a sense. It's a newness of life that others will begin to notice in our lives, that we're living a life that's different from the way of the world, that's different maybe from our previous lifestyles, but it's different in that it reflects the character of God. In Galatians 5:19 through 26, it says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness," trying to get the right light here, "idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." That word in verse, get the number, this is why I use my print and the screen. But in verse 21, it talks about that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. It doesn't mean those who have done these things. It means those who live that lifestyle without repentance. And so a lot of those words we don't, or several of the words, I know for me, I have to go back every time and go back and look them up. So what does that mean again? Because those aren't common words that we use. But I know that when we act in this way, these are the characteristics of our flesh. And that's what we're to put off. That's what we're to push away, is the characteristics of our flesh, that the newness of life in Christ might be established in our lives. So I want to look at this morning, I want to look at six different points that we can learn from this passage in Galatians 5, 19 through 26. I want us to look at these points because these six points will help us to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. I'm sure you, like me, want the fruit of the Spirit to be cultivated in our lives. We want to, in essence, we were saying we want to grow into the character of Christ, not the person of Christ, but the character of Christ. In other words, his values, his perspectives, his priorities, his thinking, his ways, a way that reflects the very character of God. We want that to develop in our lives if we're following Christ. If we choose not to follow Christ as believers, we're not desiring the fruit of the Spirit in our life. And the fruit of the Spirit is the only thing that God can do and work in and through our lives that enables us to live a new life that God intends for us to have. And so we're going to look at these six points. The first is we can relate to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives as fruit. Okay, so here's this thing. Bear with me. Fruit. Let's get this in here, right? Plug this puppy in. See if it'll reach. Will you reach? Yes, you will. Now, how many of you have been in church and heard a message where you make a fruit smoothie during the service? But what I've got here is Ben and Jerry's. I wanted to thaw. I think it's now liquid. And I've got these fruit. Banana represents, I say represents, people have identified the banana like that of joy. The apple, of course, love. The pear is that of peace. And the avocado is there because I like it. So I didn't put any name on that one, all right? And so we've got this fruit. Now, when we receive Christ, Christ wants to work in our lives the things that bring out his character. And remember, the freedom that we have is the freedom over the power of sin, but it's the choice, the liberty that we have that enables us to either choose to follow God in his way and let him work or not to. And so this banana in this bag is kind of like putting the fruit into our life. Fruit of the Spirit is in our life, but we have to be careful that we don't do this. I'm not really interested in the fruit that God wants me to have. Wow. What a mess. But see, that's what the point is. It's supposed to be messy. When we don't follow what God has for us to do, I had to crunch this to get this into the blender, in case you're wondering, get it into the ice chest, in case you're wondering. If we choose not to let the Holy Spirit work in our lives, then we choose not to experience the good things in our life. Because I tell you what, I would rather have this than a smashed up banana in my life. Wouldn't you? Well, you don't know yet, do you? But a little vanilla, a little Ben and Jerry's vanilla ice cream with some chocolate in it, a couple ice cubes. That in here, put this here, it will not explode. And you think, what in the world does this have to do with anything? Well, I tell you what, I would much rather drink this. Not bad. Not bad. And then to eat this. What's the point? The point that I'm trying to tell you, what in the world? The point is that God puts the fruit into our life of his Spirit. We either choose to push that fruit away, we choose to eliminate it from our lives. I don't want to go there, Lord. I don't want to have that type of thing. We might even question at that point for the person that really is thinking that way in a very hard manner, that they are, whether they're Christians or not. But there are some times in our walk with Christ where we choose to respond to the Spirit, not the Holy Spirit, but our flesh, right? And when we live for our own self and our own flesh, we end up working against what God wants to do, make something good. And so I'd rather have the good effects of the fruit of the Spirit in my life than fight against what God wants to do in my life that's going to change me to be more like Him. Does that make sense? Anybody?
Yeah.
I'd rather look good and see the work of God work good in my life than me to smash out the good that God wants to do for the sake of me choosing not to follow Him.
Yeah.
Okay? Think about it. I would say chew on it, but not this time. All right? So there's that point there, and I hope that that helps you a little bit. We can relate to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives as fruit. We either let God work that fruit in our lives, develop that fruit in our lives, so we see the character of Christ developed in our lives, or we choose not to let God do that work in our lives. We allow Him to do the work in our lives. There's a much better benefit, like that milkshake or smoothie, whatever, than a smashed up banana that we've been resisting. And so we need to know that the fruit of the Spirit is a lot of things, right? We saw that. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, fullness. All these things that are listed here, we have to let God develop that in and through our lives. Because sometimes the character of God being opposite of our own natural character is hard to implement in our life, right? In other words, God says, okay, I want you to respond this way, but our flesh says, no, I'd rather respond this way. I want you to relate this way, but our flesh says, no, I'd rather relate this way. And so it's a choice, that liberty, the choice to either resist the fruit that God is trying to develop in our life or to yield to the fruit that God's developing in our life by pushing away the old man, the old self, and allowing the new life of Christ work in and through our lives. The second point is, what behaviors do you see changing in your lives? I mean, if we're going to see the fruit of God work in our lives, we say, well, I'm a believer in Christ. I know the Holy Spirit lives in my heart. I know that I want to grow in the Lord. Then there should be something that we see. We should be able to look at our lives and say, I see myself growing spiritually. We should be able to do that. I've tried. I don't do it every year, but I've tried every year on my birthday to reflect on my life and go, have I grown at all, Lord? And one of the ways that I try to do that is, first of all, I check to see if I'm still at the marker line. What I mean by that is, Lord, am I still as in love with You now as I was a year ago? Is my relationship with You still as close with You now as it was a year ago? That's the starter point. That's the comparing line. Have I grown more in love with You? Have I seen You work through my life more specifically than I have before? Do I see You in me, working, revealing Yourself? That's the fruit of the Spirit. And so we have to choose, obviously, whether or not we're going to allow Him to do that work in and through our lives. And so what are the behaviors that we've seen? Can you see behaviors in your life that reflect your maturing in Christ? Can you see the character of Christ coming out through your life that you know is contrary to your natural way of behavior? When we see these things, we begin to identify that God is truly working that fruit of His Spirit in our lives, through our lives, and the old person is being pushed away. And so a couple of examples we might look at as well is, how do you spend your time and relate with family or with our friends? Or what do we watch on TV? Or what do you watch on YouTube? Or what types of video games do you play? Because where our heart is, or where our treasure is, there is our heart. If our heart is focused on things that we know that are not pleasing to God, it reflects where we're at. We're pushing away the work of the Spirit of God, the fruit that God wants to develop in our life, rather than embracing Him and allowing Him to develop us, that leads us away from those things that should not ought to be a part of our lives. How do we speak to people? Do we speak to people in a kind way, or are we polite? Would our behavior please God? these questions are humbling to me, because I can look at these things, and probably if I took the time to answer each one of those questions with a real thoughtful answer, I'd probably say, no, I haven't been what I should be in any of those areas. And so we remind ourselves that whatever we do, God is right there with us. If we know God is with us, and our conscience is clear, and our heart is right with God, there is freedom in Christ. Freedom in Christ. Someone posted that this last week, and I don't remember exactly what the quote was, but it was in Corinthians or something. It was talked about that there is where love is, there is freedom in Christ, I think. And that love and place of being that in a right position with God gives great freedom in who we are in Christ. And so we've looked at that. And in Galatians 5:19 through 21, it says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, of course, which you looked at before: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, reveries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the past and time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." That last sentence really is, wow, what'd he say? Those that practice those things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So if we know of those that are practicing these type of lifestyles, it's the way they live, that's who they are. I'm not saying it. God is saying it. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. Doesn't mean that we haven't done them. It means those that practice them, live them, ingrain them. This is who they are. This is their life. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. The third point is, these are obvious sins, and this is not a complete list. The whole reason for this passage here is to give us examples to look and to reflect on our own sinful nature in our lives. If we want to see the fruit of God, we have to identify the things that aren't fruitful to God's glory. If we want to see the blessings of God, we have to acknowledge the things that don't bless God. We have to be able to evaluate and compare walking in the flesh and that of walking in the Spirit of God. And it's our choice to do either one of those things. We choose to walk in our carnal, sinful desires or in ways that are pleasing to God. It's simply a choice. And you know as well as I know that we all don't do that. We all don't make the right choice all the time. We all know that. There's an old saying, out with the old and in with the new, right? And this passage is talking about putting the old sinful way out, pushing it out of our life, because what's the sinful nature do? It brings destruction. What's the fruit of the Spirit do? It brings new life. We find the fullness and the richness of the person of Jesus and his love in our life being manifested that just overwhelms us with the wonder of Jesus. It's our choice. It's our choice. Nature, as I was preparing for this message, there was an illustration that I thought that was interesting about nature. Don't you find nature interesting, how you can compare nature with spiritual truth? If you look around, there's lots of things you can compare, like Paul did with the human body. But you can, this one particular instance is the picture up on the wall of the red oak tree. What's interesting about the red oak tree is that, unlike most trees in the fall, this is not an evergreen. Okay, so evergreens will stay green forever throughout the winter, right? Okay, this is a red oak tree And unlike the trees, when they change their leaves and colors and fall and the leaves drop to the ground, their leaves change, but they don't drop to the ground. They stay on throughout the winter. But in spring, something happens. The sap of the tree builds up and new blossoms are budding, or new buds are coming out. And here's the clincher. The buds are pushing off the old dead leaves from the year before and producing new ones, new life. God is showing us, even just in this simple illustration of this tree, that God knows the things that are of the flesh, the things that are old or dead, that need to be pushed off. But if we yield to Him and allow the Holy Spirit to work in our life like the sap in that tree does, and push those leaves off, that there's new life that's seen and evident. Then you've got the wonder of this, I would call, glorious tree. And for me, in the cliche, Christ is the tree of life. Christ is the tree of life. And so He wants us to have that newness of life. And that's our choice. The choice is, again, our liberty in Christ to choose to do what He wants or what we want, to live in our flesh or to live by His Spirit, to allow Him who's put the fruit in our lives to be able to develop that fruit into something that is much better than what we could ever contrive for ourselves. Now, I have to ask a question. Do you ever feel like, and this is rhetorical, I'm sure, that our Christian walk is like a spiritual tug of war? We're constantly wrestling between the flesh and the spirit. Constantly. Now, we have this illustration here, but there's really an old cartoon that I think I did an illustration of it here in church one year. You get a bunch of demons on one side, or little devils on one end of the rope, and you get some little angels on the other end of the rope, and you tie the flag in the middle, and you have them do a tug of war. And sometimes that's how we kind of think about our walk, is that it's like a yin and yang. You know, it's kind of like the balance between good and evil. They're constantly equal, back and forth. Well, that's a lie from hell, because God's greatness is no comparison, or evil cannot compare itself to the greatness of God. Having said that, here we've got this tug of war going on. We must always remember that at the end of the rope is this giant hand holding the rope on the angel side. That's us. Not that we're angels, but that we're His people. You see, the concept I'm trying to say here is that when we have this spiritual and carnal wrestling tug of war in our life, know that our victory is already secure because God is holding the end of the rope behind us. The enemy cannot win. We already have the victory. And yet in our journey here, we feel the struggle. We see the times that we fall in the flesh or the times that we are victorious in the spirit, but we are still victorious in Christ because we're secured in Him. We are absolutely secured in Him. Verse 24 says, "We have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." The only time we're going to see the fruit of God develop and work in our lives is if we make the choice, which is the liberty and the freedom of Christ that we have, to say, "I choose you, God, to help me push away my flesh, my natural sinful way, my natural sinful passions and desires, to put that away for the sake of knowing you and seeing you live powerfully in and through me, and others will see it and glorify you." That's our choice. What a great choice. What a great privilege. What a great opportunity to yield to God and allow Him to work and to shape us and to make us into what He wants us to be, and to see our old sinful nature dying. That we can go back over a year, we might look over a year, we might look over 5 years, we might look over 10 years in our past and go, "That is no longer a part of my life anymore. It's gone." That's the power of God. And we can praise God for that. We can lift Him up and glorify His name. The fifth point is that the Holy Spirit is sufficient for our victory. Satan wants to convince us that we do not have the ability to do what God wants us to do. Even though we know different, even though we know better than that, we know that the devil tries to convince us of that lie, that it's no use trying. God has already given us the victory. Thomas D. Lee and Hang P. Griffin, Galatians, the New American Contemporary, just quoting who these guys are that made this quote, "We won't experience that in fullness on this side of eternity, but we can take hope in knowing that we aren't consigned to nothing but failure." God's grace is sufficient always. We do not have to consign that we are failures or that we are going to fail, because God is already there in our hearts, enabling us, giving us everything we need to have the victory that will glorify Him. So if we follow or walk with the Holy Spirit, it's because we always know the Holy Spirit's there to help us, giving us the grace that we need to have the victory in Him. Now, for me, the milkshake was a victory over the smashed banana. Another crazy illustration. I'd rather have the good stuff God wants to do with the fruit that He gives me than me handling the fruit and making a mess of it. And so we have that. And it says in 1 Corinthians 15:57, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." In Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And the sixth point and final is keep in step with the Holy Spirit. It's a choice. That's our liberty in Christ. We certainly have the grace that's sufficient. We certainly have the authority, the power, and the privilege through the freedom that God has given us to make the choice to walk in step with the Holy Spirit. We're to go in the direction the Holy Spirit takes us and not be afraid of the direction that He's leading us. You know, we can say, I'll follow you so long as it fits my agenda. We'll follow you so long as it doesn't scare me half out of my wit. So long as I'm okay and comfortable with it, I'll follow you. But we have to, in order to walk in the Holy Spirit, we have to be willing to walk in the direction He takes us. We have to rely on Him to help us to walk on the path He has for us to walk, because we can't do it on our own. And we're to avoid the paths that lead us to sin. We know our weaknesses, and if we fall into an area or we're in an environment where we know our weaknesses are being challenged, we need to walk away from that to be right with God. We have to do that. And like I was saying before, there's freedom in the love of Christ. When our heart is right, we're in the right spirit, there's freedom in that love. But we must make sure that we walk in the path that He leads us to and avoid the paths that lead to sin. Kathy's told me a number of times, for her, it's extremely important for her to have that morning time with God, that morning quiet time with God. Because if she fuels up on the Word, fuels up in prayer, then she has the that extra spiritual keenness in her walk that helps her to walk in step with God. And it helps her to identify circumstances that she might be walking into that she knows that she's weak in that environment and may fall into sin. We all have those weaknesses, but we all have God, who's our strength and our victory over those weaknesses. And so we're to take the liberty and make the right choices for God, through God, in God. And let me just add to that. It's only by the working of the Holy Spirit in your life and my life that we're being drawn to make the right decision. We're not being drawn to make the right decision of our own doing, because our sinful nature won't do that. But the Holy Spirit will lead us. So we have the liberty to make choices because of the freedom that we have in Christ that He gave us. We have the freedom to overcome sin by the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, and we're to take that opportunity. And when we do that, we will bear much fruit for God's glory. When we allow God to work in your life and my life in a way that the fruit is being developed, God will be glorified. And we can praise Him for that. Amen? Amen? So that's part of our freedom and our liberty in God, is the working of the Holy Spirit, who wants to produce that godly fruit in your life and my life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for your word. Your word is humbling, Father. Always humbling. Your word is encouraging because of your love for each one of us. An immeasurable love. Your word is encouraging because you see us as we are. You know us better than we know ourselves. There's nothing hid from your eyes or your understanding of who we are. You know every weakness and every struggle. You know every strength and every victory. And yet you still love us. So help us to love you back. And may that be more and more evident in our lives as that love that we have for you and you have for us extends out and touches those around us. And I pray that you'll be glorified by it. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.